Simon Peter, a bondservant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like a precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been made given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and your election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. Though you know and are established in the present truth, yes, I think it right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honour and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And we heard his voice which came from heaven, and when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 46. And I've just got one line for us this morning on this first Sunday of the new year. It's found there in the 19th verse. It's only one line. But although it's only one line, it's found in a very important portion of Scripture, in the sense that it's dealing with the tabernacle, dealing with the temple. I don't know if you know how this Bible story unfolds. It's been well stated many times. God gave us two chapters on how to explain how the world was made. But when it comes to describing the making of the tabernacle and the making of the temple, then there is chapter after chapter. One of the dominant themes of this book is of that place where God was to meet with human beings. And in Ezekiel chapter 46, we have six chapters which have taken place of Ezekiel having a vision of a new temple. You find the Temple of Solomon taking a number of chapters. You find the tabernacle with Moses taking many chapters. Because what happens when he describes to us a temple and a tabernacle is pointing to our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Jesus came into this world and he said, you can destroy this temple, but in 3 days I will build it. And this book ultimately points to him. It speaks of him and it leads us to him. And in this little verse which we have this morning, we find now something highlighted to us in verse 19. And he brought me through the entrance, which was at the side of the gate. And just that one thought, and he brought me through the entrance that was at the side of the gate. And what we have here is not only the wonderful news for us this day, that there is an entrance which you can know of coming into the presence of God. Not only that there's a door by which you may come, we have heard that news many times. But for us this day, for this great prophet Ezekiel, he was taken through the entrance itself. And just to highlight that for you, that he was brought through the entrance. And you know, in our lives, as we stand here at the entrance of a new year, at the entrance, at the gate of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, for some it may even be this year an entrance which will be even to heaven itself. You find that in that reading which we read together. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. For an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And that's the good news. Not only that there is an entrance, but there is one who can take us through that entrance even this day. And let me just apply it first of all to perhaps many perhaps who have been in this place for many a year, and that you have stood at the entrance of the gate where the presence of God, where new life you can find, where the knowledge of God you can know, but you may never have entered through it. You may be like Ezekiel himself, found in these six chapters. It's an incredible vision that he has. He has a vision, you see, of this new temple. He's given a kind of aerial view. He's taken all around it. And he sees that there are many gates and many entrances, but he's never entered himself. And then he comes to this verse, verse 19. And then he took me through the entrance. And it may be like you this morning, that you've sat here on many occasions and you've been shown, have you not, that great temple of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And you know, and the more you've heard of him, just like Ezekiel in one sense, your heart has been racing, the desire you've had, emotions have been stirred, you have wanted to know more and to enter in to that new life, to the presence of God, to where he may be found. You've heard the news. He's Emmanuel, God with us. You've heard the incredible news of the fact that there's a sacrifice for our sins. You know that in Jesus Christ, the veil has been taken away. You've known the blessings, have you not, that you could come even to him. And you've heard all that, but you have never entered in to that gate yourself. You stand here at the 1st of January and you have stood outside that gate for many a year. You have heard the incredible call which has happened on many occasions. Take it from the Sermon on the Mount and in chapter 7, where you've heard those words, enter in at the narrow gate, for narrow is the gate and narrow is the way that leads unto life. And you've heard the call, but you've never been able to find the gate, or you've never been able to enter in. And there's a reason for that, because this gate is difficult in many ways. Someone who has been out to Israel just lately came back and shared the story of that when they went to the tomb where they laid the Lord Jesus. We don't know if it's the real tomb. But the point is, they've got, you know, you end up in a queue and you've got to go in. But when you go in, you've got to stoop and you've got to become low. And it's just a picture, really, of everyone who has to come through this gate. You can't come with a stiff neck. Pride will stop you from entering. It's a gate where you have to humble yourself and bow the knee. It's a gate where you come and you confess what you're really like. And you know it's the hardest gate to enter into. And it's impossible for human beings to come and to admit to themselves that they are in desperate need of God and of the Lord Jesus. And you come to a place in your experience and you're unable to admit that you need to enter by this gate. There are many people, they're trying to get to heaven. Many people are trying to get to God. They're trying, see, through their own endeavors and their own strength, by their good works, by their deeds, by their religion, by their rituals, by all these things, people are trying to enter. And yet there comes a moment in one's life where you have to come and you realize that there is no other way, but you have to bow the knee and you're desperate. And it is when your pride is broken and you admit and you're able to confess, I thought I was a Christian. I acted as a Christian. I want to tell you I was no Christian. And I found I was in desperate need. This gate is very difficult to get through. Someone has mentioned that when you go through this gate, you can only go alone. It can only enter one by one. You can't go with your family or your friends. There comes a time when you yourself, you have to enter it in your own way. And as it says there in verse 19, and he brought me through the entrance. And there are things in our lives that we find so difficult. We can't go with any baggage. We can't enter with any things. And you know how difficult it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Shall I tell you how difficult it is? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And here you've got the sight. You say, with man, it's impossible. But with God, it is possible. And in this vision that Ezekiel has, he says, and he brought me through the entrance. And when a person becomes a Christian, one of the things that you begin to realize, and you may have stood there for many an occasion. I was only having the story relayed to me this week of someone who had read the book on Dr. Martin, that when he was in Sandfields, there was a man who stood outside the church and could not enter in until there was that occasion when he came in and he heard the gospel and he was converted and he was saved. And you know, it's like that in our lives. You see, it is like this. There is so much that stops us. We've got so many hindrances in our living and lifestyles. How could we possibly enter unclean before him? Things we're not prepared to give up. Things we're not willing to release. There's the hold of the world which is on us, and it holds us back. We have got temptations, we've got a love for the world and the things of this. But then you see, when you become a Christian, you realize this, don't you? You realize not only that Jesus Christ is the gate to this new life, but he's the one that can give you the power to enter into this new life. And when you come to Jesus Christ, there may be something happening in your experience now where the very love of the world is being taken away. And you feel a greater love for God and the things of God. And it may be, you see, in your life where those cords which have held you are being broken and the ties which hold you back are now being loosed. And then you find the obstacles you've had in your thinking, in your mind. You remember when you said there was no God, and now you begin to doubt your doubts, and you come to a place and you realize the objections you had against God's word, and it's becoming clearer to you. And you say, what's that? I tell you what that is. There is a God who comes and he brings his people through the entrance of that gate. There comes a moment in your life, in your experience, where you've got to come and you've got to make that choice yourself. You have to enter in. You have to say to Jesus Christ and proclaim you as Lord and God, I ask you to forgive me. I bow the knee. I need that life which you've come to give. And when you come, you begin to realize you've come through it, but he brought you through it. You stand here on the first day of 2023. And I don't know what will happen to you in your life, but you stand here now and you don't know the things of God and you've never entered into that presence which only comes in Jesus Christ. But then at the end of the year, you may be able to say, I've entered in. As you begin at the end of the year, you say, I can't tell you the day, I can't tell you the hour, but in 2024, I know I am a Christian. You say, how was that? It's because he has brought me through the entrance. But then there's something else here for us this morning, and I'd like to apply it because we do stand, don't we, at the entrance of a new year. And that you've come this far. I don't know what's happened in your life or your experience over the last year. I had a little Christmas card which was sent to me from abroad, and they named of the brother who died and of another brother, and it was an uncle, there was a lot of deaths, and they said on this card that last year was a particularly difficult year indeed. And we can have that experience in our lives. But I want to say to you this, and it's not a figment of our imagination, he's brought you to this day. He's brought you to the entrance of a new year. And because he's brought you to the entrance of a new year, you can expect and you can actually know of something of God dealing in your life and your experience. Like I said, this is not fiction. I want to show you of what he's done. There's a little verse which you find, and you find it in the incredible Psalm, Psalm 22. And Psalm 22, as you know, is the Psalm of the cross. It's the Psalm which begins, my God, why have you forsaken me? And what happens is these are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. They're the words which he has spoke before he came into this world, the words which he spoke on the cross of Calvary. And then on these very words, you find this verse of the entrance. It's the divine logic. And you've got to begin to think like this. He's brought you to this first day of the new year. And as he then takes of these words, in verse 9, he says this, and you took me out of the womb. You made me trust while I was on my mother's breast. And that's the logic. And as the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking here of the Psalms of suffering, he says, what do you be? He says, but you're the one. You brought me out of the womb. What an entrance. Psalm 139 tells us this, that in that womb we are fearfully and wonderfully made. He's had his hand upon you from the very beginning. He has wrought you in the lowest parts of the earth. You were there even before you came into this world. God had his hand upon you. But did you know this? He brought you into this world. He brought you from the womb into this world. And of all the journeys that you'll ever make in this world, the most deadly and dangerous journey that you've had is from the womb to this world. And it's filled with dangers. And he brought you through that narrow entrance that you may be then in this world today. Now that's his logic. He says, you brought me from the womb. And you taught me to trust in you. And because of that, there is that thought that if he's brought you this far, will he not? Will he not? Will he not have his hand upon you?
Can you not then trust in him? Because that is the divine logic. I know people go through difficult times in life. And what happens is this. People can't see an end. People give up, don't they? Because they could never see the end. But it's not seeing the end. If you could only see the beginning, that he brought you to this entrance, to this world, and it was for this purpose. Let me describe it to you like this. In your life, you'll have many entrances. You'll have the entrance, for example, that people have had when they went to grammar school. They did the entrance exam, and they passed, and they went in. God brought you through that. It was the entrance you had when you went to university. God brought you through that. There's the entrance that some people had to come to this country. You've had an entrance in. There's a reason for that. God's done that. He's brought you through the entrance. Others have had an entrance from a jail door which has been opened. You've got an entrance to this very year ahead. He's brought you this far. And he's brought me through. You've got to begin to think. Was it not those words which were spoken in 1939 by King George VI? I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light, safer than a known way. So I went forth, and finding the hand of God, trod gladly into the night. Those were bad years, weren't they? But they brought them to the entrance, and he'll take you through. Could you not think of it like this for your existence at this point? He brought you into this world. And because he's done that, he has done it for a purpose. Could you not think of this? That he has brought you to new birth in your spiritual experience. Could it not be that he has done that for a purpose? Could you not think of this, that he's brought you to this day, that to an entrance of days to come, and is for that purpose? But this brings us, you see, to this third thought. And like I said, this is not a pep talk. We're not into that. We don't like taking scriptures and make people just simply feel good about it. But there's something else that you need to know very, very clearly. I don't know what will happen in the year to come. I know that there are people who are no longer with us today because of the year which has just been. But there is an entrance which he gives. You find it there as we read once again in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into an everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when we go through this life, look, if you're not a Christian this day, the Bible tells us this, that there is a door which is open in heaven, and that door is not closed. It is not barred to you. You can come freely into it. The Bible clearly tells us that in our own natural disposition, we have not got the means or the power or the strength. We know that it needs a divine work of God to come and help us in our lives. And for you now to come to heaven this day, you've got to come to Jesus Christ this day, because the door of heaven is the door open which was on earth when Jesus Christ came to this earth, opened up his arms and his blood was shed. And he said if you would come to him, you could know him. And if you've come to him, if you're a Christian this day, you know, don't you, of a door which is in heaven, and it is open. And here we're told that there's an abundant entry. I want you to think of that. A person who's become a Christian is someone who has got an assurance of an abundant, everlasting life. It's what you are to know. The Apostle Peter, I'm not saying he was the first pope, but he had something to say about death. And for him, it seems to be a little bit better that he knew something. You live a life, he says, you come to Jesus Christ, and you can know of this. But death, the future, the unknown, there's a fear of it, of going in now to a place which we have no understanding in one sense. We know our Lord's there. We've been given many comforts, but there are certain things we don't know. We don't know the day we're going to die, and we don't know how we're going to die. We don't know if it's going to be peacefully or by martyrdom. We don't know if it's going to be in pain or in agony. Don't know if it's going to be an accident or in a crash. Don't know if my mind is going to go and my senses have gone from me. Don't know if it's going to be lonely with no one else around. There are so many ways in weakness, in a moment, the thoughts of how people can die could be murdered drastically. What a way that people can go from this world, the horror and the terror, the uncertainty of it. But there's this. You can know of an abundant entrance. And for a person who's a Christian, could I put it like this to you? Just like Ezekiel has said, he brought me through that entrance. Now, when you become a Christian, what happens is this. He has not promised you an easy path. He hasn't promised you an easy life. He's promised you with many difficulties and toils and snares. We've already come. What he's promised us is this. In this chapter you can read, if you've come to know of what it is to be born again and the divine partakers of his nature, and you live your life, it's like that light which shines ever brighter. The doors seem to get bigger. The light seems to shine brighter. There are all these things, but there's death we've got to cross. Now we can sing, "Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home." I don't know the truth of that. It may be in the rapture. I know Elijah went up in that chariot. But everyone else of us will have to cross that river. But I do know this. Angels may stand around your bed, but they can't carry you through. There's only one which has gone into death. Only one has been victorious. Only one can take you through hell and Hades and bring you out the other side. Only one has the marks upon his hands and knows the footsteps where to tread. Only one has been there before. Only one will be with you. And he says this, "He brought me through the entrance." And I can assure you this, on that very day, whatever it may be, he's the one who will bring you through. It's a wonderful little vision that he has, isn't it? We stand at many entrances. Let me just finish with this morning. Whatever's before you, he will bring you through. All the way my Saviour leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, we know it all as he leads us. In that little text for us this morning, it's really interesting. Do you know, we're told in verse 9 that anyone who does enter into this city will have to then always leave a different direction. And it's like that in our lives, I hope. You've come into this place this day one way, but you need to go out another way. You come to Jesus Christ in this way. You'll go out another way. And so it is, he brought me through the entrance.